You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, or 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Last week I was going to begin a series that I didn't get around to beginning till Sunday night. So if you missed Sunday night, you missed the beginning building blocks of a series of sermons that we're going to be preaching. Getting back to the basics. We live in a world that's got everything that speeds us up. You ever noticed that? I mean, they can make stuff faster in the home, and cook things faster. You know, what used to take a while to beat with us. Any of y'all remember getting stuff ready for mama to cook? I never understood why my mama didn't do that. Of course, when she hit me, I was glad she wasn't doing it regular because it would have hurt worse. But we'd have to beat that stuff so she could cook because she didn't have no mixer. And then she got a mixer, and it was like, yeah, we don't have to do that no more. And then all of a sudden we found we could nuke stuff, and it didn't take 3 hours, just 30 seconds. Hello? And we're nuking it, having a big time. Everything is for speed. You go on work, and people got all kind of tools that make things faster so they can get done quicker. And it's not that they're doing more work, they're just getting done quicker. And we have sped up everything to the point now we're just flying down the road, and some of us ain't got an idea where we're going. We're just going. And for that reason, I think we need to put the brakes on every once in a while and say, wait a minute, I need to get back to the basics. I need to start learning what I'm doing so I can make sure I'm headed in the right direction. Have you ever heard this? While we're all trying to get to the same place, and all roads lead to one God. That be the case. You get in your car today, just take off. Don't get in no certain road. Just take off down the road and see what happens. Hello? Had a guy tell me that one time in Atlanta Airport. I said, dude, just go down to another gate and get on a plane, see if you get where you're going. Makes about much sense what you just said. We take planes going where we're going. We get on roads we know will take us where we're going. And we got too many people think they can jump on any road and get to heaven. It ain't going to work that way. There is one way, one truth, one life, and that's Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? But if we're going to get back to the basics, we got to get to the three that are kind of important. I started with them, and the title part of the sublint of getting back to the basics is simply this, the remaining three. For now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. If we've ever needed anything in the day in which we're living, we need people to get back to believing God. One of the biggest problems we got in the church world, we got too many people that are infatuating themselves with other things besides God, and it begins to dilute what they see in God. The wisest man ever lived, his name was Solomon. He was so wise and so smart, very religious man, but he made a mistake. He married 700 women, got 355 concubines, and every one of them came from a different background with a different religion, and he'd try to go to church with every one of them because going to church is just going to church. Doesn't matter where you go. And it wasn't long he was starting to listen about Baal and Melechism and all the different types of religion they had back in that day, and it watered down his faith in God so bad that the Bible said he suffered from fear in the night. And he had to have men standing around his bed with their hand on the sheath of their sword ready to draw at any moment so he could go to sleep because he was so afraid. And it wasn't until he prayed through and got back to God that he lost that fear and realized it's not about how many places I go to church. It's about being faithful to the God of all gods, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And I want to tell you something, church, it is important where you go to church. If they're not preaching this, the eternal word of Almighty God, and they're not standing on what this word says, and all they want to throw at you is psychology and a bunch of junk, you need to leave that place alone and go get somewhere where the word of God's being preached, and you know that word is going to instill in you a presence of a God that can change your life. Could you say amen? Glory, glory. Listen, J.O. Frazier, former missionary to China, said that faith is like a muscle. It must be used or it will die. Come on, some of you older guys know what I'm talking about. I can remember when I used to bench press 425 pounds. Now I would be excited if I knew I could do 25. But I worked out regular back then. Hello? But you see, that's what happens to a lot of us in church. We don't exercise our faith, and faith, like a muscle, begins to deteriorate. And then when something comes along we really need to believe God for, we don't have the faith that'll move a mountain. We don't have faith that'll do anything. And we're sitting there going, my God's changed. God's not what he used to be, because, you know, it couldn't be us. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all heard that. Well, God just don't do what he used to do. Hogwash. My Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. It even goes deeper than that. In him there is no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning. So the same God that turned the water into wine is the same God I'm serving right now. The same God that tore down the walls of Jericho when the people marched around and shouted is the same God I'm serving right now. The same God that provided a way for Noah to build an ark and be saved from the flood is the same God I'm serving right now. The same God that walked down the street healing the sick and raising the dead is the God I'm serving right now. And if I can but believe, all things are possible unto them that will believe. Oh. Well, preacher, you may believe that, but I don't know. Look, faith is a belief that what you do not see, the reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Hello? St. Augustine said, faith is to be able to believe in what you don't see. But faith also allows you to see that you believe in. Hello? Well, preacher, that just ain't possible. All things are possible with God. Hello? Glory. Amen. You don't be like the dude that was going to walk on water, announced it, and this happened in Alabama, a place called Geneva. I hate to admit it, but he went to a church of God. He announced to the whole city he was going to walk on water down at the lake. Well, he had went and built him a little platform, made up plexiglass, and had it just up under the water. He was going to get out there and walk on the water so the people on the other side of the lake wouldn't be able to see the plexiglass. And he was going to show them about faith. And he's out there walking on the water, and he's doing real good. Till one of his old knothead boys decided they'd fix Daddy up, and they took a little slip out of his platform. And all of a sudden, he goes down under the water and comes up, and everybody on the bank's laughing. His son's down there holding a piece of plexiglass. He said, is that come he fell in? Glory. Peter didn't need plexiglass. He just needed to believe. And because he believed, he walked on water. Come on, church. You say, preacher, that don't happen. I'm not going to tell you jump out of a good boat on water unless God tells you. But if he says so, I guarantee you, you can walk on water just like he did. Come on, church. God's no respect to person. Amen. But when we talk about faith, and that's some of the things I got off on the other night. If you want to hear the rest of it, you can get the CD or listen to it on the internet. Number one, the wonders of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which did appear. Glory. Now, church, I believe this is the infallible, undisputable word of God. I believe these men wrote it by inspiration, coming from the word theopneustos, which means the breath of God. God breathed into them knowledge and they wrote it. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, Moses wrote about something he couldn't have seen because he wasn't there. But he wrote the book of Genesis. And while he was on the mountain, God didn't just give him the Ten Commandments. Notice the Bible said he showed him his hinder parts. Now, church, he didn't walk by and go, look. He showed him his past. And while he's on that mountain, God's talking to him. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and darkness descended upon the face of the earth. And I said, let there be light, and there was light. And while he's giving him all this, Moses is putting it down, and he writes this book. It was by the breath of God that God gave him that inspiration to believe, and it's by that same inspiration that every writer that wrote in this book wrote what he wrote, that we would have a testament, old and new, of what our God could do. And it is in this word we find life, and we find overcoming power. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. And I know there are things written in there. You go, oh, wait a minute, that can't happen. But it did. I don't know how to explain God, and I don't think anybody else can. But you know what? He's never asked anybody to explain him. When Moses went to see Pharaoh, he didn't say, go give him a theological lesson. Just say, I am sent me. Glory. I guarantee you, if you got to Pharaoh on the side of the Red Sea when his army just got drowned, you looked up and said, I am sent me. Whatever you want, go get it. I've heard enough. I am. Glory. Come on, church. Why? Because God doesn't have to be proven who he is. He just said, believe. Amen. I don't know how God took nothing, made everything out of it, and hung it on nothing, told it to stay there, but I believe it happened just like the word of God said. I don't know how he scooped up a bunch of mud, formed it up, and got some arms and legs, and then and it jumped up and started naming animals. Glory. Hello? Next time you're around somebody that won't be smart, she's in the oldest profession, look at them and say, you mean she runs a zoo? Because Adam was running a zoo before there was ever a woman in the world. So the idea, come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody back there, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. No, you need to stick them with the truth. Amen. I'll be honest with you, church, there's a lot in this world I don't understand. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass, give white milk, but I don't argue when I'm drinking the milk. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I found this word to be true, and I believe this word to be true, and I believe every word in it is God's word, and it will move my life. It will change me. It will do work in me because of the wonder of God. I believe everything was formed out of nothing, hung on nothing, and told to stay there, and it evolves there just as greatly because God did it, and because of that, I believe he is God, and he is in control. Could you say amen? Jesus didn't say, if you know who I am. He said, if thou canst but believe, all things are possible to them. The belief is the citadel of everything we get. And you know what? If you can't believe God for the little stuff, you will never believe him for the big stuff. Huh? God, I need help. My finances is messed up, but you ain't been praying about your finances to now. You might not have enough faith to get your finances took care of. Hello? You pray to God about everything, and the more God does for you, the more you count down, and the more you realize he's still God. Real faith can only be pushed as far as your last miracle and your last encounter with God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Oh, the devil comes along. He wants to discourage you from believing in anything. He would love to have you watch Crooked News Network and all these other places and let them tell you about all the things. Ain't got nothing to do with that book. Come on, church. It never ceases to amaze me how many people will read books, watch TV shows about something that contradicts this book, and they never take time to read this book. If you read this book, you watch all that and laugh at them because you realize them some dumb people. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I believe this to be the word of God. I don't care what somebody said about this not being the word of God. This is the word of God. I don't need to hear it because I have read this word, I have walked by this word, and I have believed in this word. And because of that, I know that faith in God will get me places I can't go on my own. Well, God's not going to do this for you. You know, if Satan can talk you out of one miracle, it'll make you back up on what you believe in God. But if he starts trying to back you up, let him take you to the last time you look and say, wait a minute. Have any of y'all ever had one of them experiences where you look around and say, hey, that had to be God? Come on, church. You know, you can't explain it away. Can't some doctor take credit for it? Can't somebody do something and say, oh, yeah, it happened? But you can look at it and say, wait a minute, that had to be God. I want to tell you something, church. If you've never had one of them experiences, you need to have one of them where everybody said it ain't gonna work. Come on, church. Do y'all remember the cartoon where they had the guy on there that everything was gonna blow up? Everybody be happy, and he go, it'll never work. We're doomed. We got them people in the church. You start talking about God doing something, oh, that won't work. We never done it that way. Well, maybe that's why it ain't never worked. Huh? But we got people up trying to do something. They're boat dwellers. You know, there were 12 people on the boat. Jesus said, come. I never read in the Bible where he said, Peter, come. He just said, come. Peter's the only one climbed out of the boat, started walking on water. Rest of them in the boat telling him all the reasons why he shouldn't be doing what he was doing. And he got on the water, and they're going, whoa, we should have went with him. And then about that time, he got his eyes off God, started going down. They go, oh, man, I'm glad I stayed in the boat. That dude finna drown. Jesus touched his hand. He comes back to the top of the water, walked back to the boat. But you see, the problem we have is we got water walking people mixed up with boat dwellers, and it keeps messing up everything. The wonder of the faith of God is that I'm willing to get out of the boat. It doesn't matter what happens. If God said it, we got to do what God said. If I operate on his word, I'll walk on water and I'll see miracles. Oh, come on. Y'all ain't figured it out. This is point one. Point two still up there. Glory. We may get to it sooner or later. But notice this. I said this is a series, so I ain't got to end this today. Glory. But notice this, church. Satan wants to push you, but he can't push you past your last miracle. You say, what are you talking about? He could try to tell me that God never did this, or God never did that, or God never did the other. Come on, church. Y'all heard me preach enough. Y'all know about miracles that happened in my life. I'm a preacher because God healed my mom of terminal cancer. And devil can push me back to 1974, and I can look at him and say, wait a minute. I know God healed my mom. 31 years later, she was still cancer-free. So you can't take that away from me. I know it happened. I mean, they gave my dad less than a 5% chance of living. He prayed, said, give me a year and a half. And he lived through the surgery. And 18 months to the day of the week, he died because he fulfilled his promise to God and went on to heaven. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's the kind of God I serve, who answers with specifics and answers with power. 1982, they said, you will never have children. Well, I got two. Glory. November of 82, you'll never be able to have children. September of 83, Alex was born. They kept saying we couldn't have children. Frida was diagnosed with lupus. God healed the lupus. 9 months later, Alicia was born. And that doctor still says we can't have kids. I'm glad we ain't had no more. Glory. Truth of the matter is, the devil could try to make me believe that didn't happen, and all was just a freak of nature. But I'll tell you one thing he can't do. If he takes me back to February the 3rd, 1974, I know I walked into the church a drug addict, alcoholic, with nothing to hang on to, with nothing to turn my life over to, and God brought me into that altar and washed away my sins and gave me life everlasting and gave me a peace that passed all understanding, and he will never take me past that point in my life. And I know if my God did that, my God can do anything I need done in my life today. Hallelujah. Glory. I got 8 minutes. Glory. Listen, verse 1 is not a formula definition of faith. It is a description of what faith does for us. It makes things hoped for as real as we already had them. And it provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain and real. Amen. Say what? It brings the future into the present. Hallelujah. It makes us believe that whatever God said, he could do it. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's time some of us got back to believing God's still God. Amen. The Bible said these signs shall follow all that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Notice it didn't say they might recover. They're going to get well if we start believing it. If you can believe, things will happen to you. We have to tell folks to put the seatbelt on while you're preaching about it. Because they sit there going, ain't no way. I even had people come to me after I told y'all about driving home on an empty tank of gas from 200-something miles away when I first started preaching. First revival. Wild revival. I prayed for a lady and she died. Lord. You have a prayer line just a minute. Hey, I was 19 years old. It bugged me. I mean, I laid hands on her and she fell out. The only thing that helped me was the last thing she said, I've never felt the power of God like I feel it right now. And I ain't talking about she died. They took her to the hospital. She died in the church. They come got her with a coroner's wagon. And then the family wanted me to help with a funeral. And I'm thinking, Lord, I killed a woman. Now they want me to help put her away. And I had to struggle with that for a couple of days. I finished out the weekend revival. Ulcer popped up on me. I half dead sick. I got a check for $35 for the week. Now, that's good, but the problem was I didn't have no cash. I back out the driveway. The dude stopped me and said, hey, preacher, just want to give you a little something to help you out. Gave me 10 bucks. I'm like, I got $10. I'll get gas and make it home, hopefully. Y'all remember back in the early 70s, had a Malibu? You know, it would, you know, you'd pull up and hopefully the gas tank would still be there when you left. Glory. Even with gas as cheap as it was then, it cost an arm and a leg compared to what you made. I remember I started out of town. Any of y'all ever been to Floreala, Alabama? It's called Floreala because it's in Alabama and Florida. Just south of Opportunity, the city of Op. There ain't much opportunity there, but it's called that. I love you, sis. I know you're from there. It was an opportunity for David. He got a wife from there. Glory. Any of y'all ever had shortcuts given to you? They're great if you got an idea where they're going. This guy said, hey, here's what you do. You go up there just above up, and you turn to the left. Go down that road about 20, 25, 30 miles. You turn north. It'll bring you right out of Montgomery. Cut off about 40 miles. I leave Floreala. I ain't seen a service station. No gas. I make it to Op. Back in the 70s, everything's closed. There wasn't no such thing as 24-hour stores. Some of them wasn't even open because it was Sunday. And I ain't found gas yet. And my gas needle was sitting dead on the E. And I'm going down through there, and I said, well, maybe there's something on this road. Because I knew there wasn't nothing in Luverne or Brantleyville, none of them other places I was going to pass through. I'm on my way back to Montgomery. So I wheel down that side road that I don't know nothing about. And I'm riding down through there, and that thing's gone got past E. And I noticed kudzu growing out into the road, which meant very few people went down that road. And I ain't seen a mailbox yet, which meant very few people lived on that road. And all I could think about was, I'm going to run out of gas. And I got to worry. And any of y'all ever had an ulcer, a real ulcer? But when it goes off like Mount St. Helens, everything in your life turns upside down and you can't. I began to get blurred vision and I started seeing trees running out in the road. Now, they wasn't trees running out over there in my mind. They was. I hit the brake and stopped. And I'm so sick now, I can't go any further. I put the car in park, opened the door, and I just fell out. And I'm laying there with my feet still in the car. And I'm looking down the road and I'm looking back down through there and I'm thinking, I don't see no lights. I ain't seen nobody since I got on here. Ain't no need being in no hurry. And I'm laying there trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm praying. And I said, God, and y'all got to understand something. Praying and believing God's new to me. I ain't been saved but 3 or 4 months. And I said, God, my mom and dad ain't got a clue where I'm at. I ain't got a clue where I am. And I said, God, I'm not even sure you know where I am. But if it's any way possible, could you help me? You know, I just dumb enough to believe he could do something. And the Holy Ghost fell on me. Now, those of you who's got to have Sister Granny's favorite song going for you get excited, you ain't got nothing anyway. Amen. Amen. I know some of you, if you get the right song, you, if you can't do it when they ain't got the right song, you got to check on why you getting excited. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know if I could get back to there. May have already been through there. Just didn't know it. But I started praying. The Holy Ghost hit me. I got my feet out of that car, and I got up, started walking up and down that road praising God. And me and the frogs was having church. I got so excited, I jumped in the car and drove all the way to Northport. Amen. If you ever get to Northport where Highway 69 crosses 82, there's a MAPCO station. That used to be an Exxon. I pull up past the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and as I started in the road to go to Exxon, the motor went dead. I got out, started trying to push the car up the hill, and a couple of guys come help me. We get the car up to the pump, and the guy pulls out and says, "What you got?" And I said, "Give me $10 worth." Because I was home. On an empty tank of gas, I drove 240-something miles. Before I realized I didn't have gas. And when I ran out, I was at the gas station where I could get gas. Come on, church. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I'm not. See, that's just the beginning of what God's done in my life, because I believe in the wonder of God. I believe he can do things this world says can't be done. I believe when the doctor says something, you ain't heard the last say. And there is a God in heaven that can move, and a God in heaven that can work, and a God in heaven that can do things if we believe. And even when our loved ones pass on, there's a God that'll pick us up and let us understand that I may have took them to be with me, but if you'll hang on, I'm going to unite you later on. As long as you believe in me, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Glory. Glory to God. Hello. If we can but believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Mamie was one of my greatest inspirations. Those of you that ain't caught it, that was my grandmother, but I will never call her grandmother because she'd beat daylights out of you if you did. I mean, she absolutely slapped me halfway across the kitchen one day because I called her granny. She leaned over, she said, "I'm Mamie." "Yes, ma'am." Hello? See, I know some of you kids, y'all can't find them at, but my grandmama didn't worry. There wasn't no such thing as DHR, anything else. She did. When I was a kid, whatever was in the hand was sufficient. I've been hit with rolling pins and extension cords and hoses. They didn't call it child abuse. That was correction. And for some reason, it usually worked. Every time you walk by that rolling pin, you're going, she's close. Hello? Mamie was a woman of faith. My grandfather, Lomer, got saved when he was 12 years old on the ash of a tent in Gadsden, Alabama. For 80-something years, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, trusting God, believing God. I just want to be like them. I want to believe in a God that can do things for me when nobody else can. I want to believe in a God that can provide what I asked, not just what I need. Mamie be specific what she wanted, and God bring it to her. I don't know how many times I was at my granddad's in the bed on the couch. Usually I'd just sleep on the couch. I'd go through there, hit a revival, and I'd stop and sleep till daylight. He'd wake me up over me praying, "God, touch my baby. God, anoint him. God, give him faith to believe in you." Now I'm here. Totally out of an act of faith. I had somebody tell me the other day, "I'll never forget. We was at prayer conference, and everybody's asking you when you was going to pastor. You said you never would. 3 months later, you was at a church." And they absolutely believed that I bargained for this place, that I went and talked to people. The only person I talked to was the overseer. And until he point blank asked me what I wanted, I couldn't tell him what I wanted. I'd never done that before. I didn't know how to carry on the conversation. I went to eat with him. We talked about two or three property committees and some other stuff. Got back. We got out of the car. Brother Childers walked to the back of his car. He said, "Hey, before we go in the office, I just don't think you came up here for what we've talked about." because you usually call me. He said, what do you really want? I said, well, I was just wondering if you put my name in at Alabaster. He said, do what? I said, I just wondered. He said, how long have I known you? I said, well, I know since the early 90s. He said, no, man, I remember meeting you back in the 80s. I said, okay, we've known each other since the 80s. He said, you've never asked anybody about pastoring. Matter of fact, you said you never would pastor. And he said, now you're asking me to put your name in a church. That's the last thing I thought would come out of your mouth. He said, well, I tell you what, I'll give you a shot. Y'all know the history. I'm here. But I'm not here because I decided to quit evangelizing. I'm here because God stopped me in that parking lot and told me this was where I belonged. And because he worked it out, I know I'm in his will. And that's why when other opportunities have been laid in front of me, I've turned them down because I believe I'm where God wants me to believe and I'm where God wants me to be. And let me tell you something, church. There is more to being in the middle of God's will than there is anything else you can find in this world. And as the song said our sister was singing a while ago, God has never asked me to do anything I can't do. But if I am faithful unto him, he will be faithful unto me. And if I can but believe, my God is able to do anything I need done in my life. And I believe this morning some of you need to wake up and realize that hand of faith that can move things in your life is available unto you. If you're faithful to God, I can call on his name. Stand with me all over the house. Holy God, have your way. God, have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that God is laying a foundation for one of the greatest moves of God this church has ever known. I believe we can be in the middle of a great outpouring of his Spirit. Well, I believe the Lord's coming. That'd be the case. The church is going to come on fire right before he shows up. He ain't coming back for a bride barely making it on oxygen. He's coming for a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I believe we're going to be on fire and the move of God's going to be happening in this community when the trump of God sounds and we're real close. So for that reason, we need to become a part of what God is trying to do for us. Hallelujah. I don't know why, but I just feel led of God to share this with you. I've shared it before, but it won't hurt for you to hear it again. 1978, my dad had a heart attack. Took him to Jackson, Mississippi, because they said they couldn't operate on him in Tuscaloosa. Truth of the matter was, they didn't expect him to live even in Jackson. They sent him there because they said that man was probably the only man in the Southeast could save my dad. He'd been a direct assistant to Christian Menard when they'd done heart transplants. They sent him to Jackson to have surgery. Never told my dad that he didn't have much of a chance, because if they told him, my dad never would have went to Jackson, Mississippi. He's just that way. But he got there and the doctor told him he had less than a 5% chance of survival. I walked around that night crying, praying, feeling sorry for myself. I called preachers and asked them to pray, and they was mad because I called in the night instead of waiting until the next morning. I went through one of the worst parts of Jackson, Mississippi, kicking a can. This guy said, you went where? I told him, he said, dude, people get robbed on a regular basis down there, and you walking down the street ringing a bell. Glory. I guess they were afraid of me. I don't know. I'm just walking. I get back to the hospital. And I had to go in the back door. Guard buzzed me in. I started down the hall, and there was a chapel. I stopped at the chapel and went inside. I figured I might as well pray one more time. And I figured I had to pray real loud because there's several stories over me, and I want to make sure that I got out. And I was down there hollering, carrying on, and all of a sudden, I noticed somebody standing at the door because you could see through the mingled glass at the door. Gentleman finally opened the door. He said, "Are you all right?" Well, I realized I must be causing disturbance, and I looked up and I said, "Yes, sir." He was in a guard uniform. I finally got up, and just to be honest with you, when I walked away from that altar, in my mind, I was saying, "What's the use? God's not listening. I'm not feeling anything." And I walked out the door. That old black gentleman slid his arms around me and pulled me to him. He said, "You're a preacher, aren't you? Pay close attention." He never asked me one question. He knew who I was. He knew what I did. He said, "You're an evangelist, ain't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You love to preach on faith, don't you?" I said, "Last week I preached the entire revival on faith." He said, "I just felt like God wanted me to take you. It's easy to talk it, but if it becomes life and you live it, it's real." I went to the bathroom, washed my face and hands, went to my dad's room. You got to understand something. My dad had been away from God for most all of my life. Backslid preacher. He gave his heart to the Lord the afternoon before in front of his wheelchair in front of DCH Hospital before we left going to Jackson. I walked in his room and he took my hand and he said, "I pray God send you. You're the only one that'll believe God with me or can believe God with me." He said, "Don't say anything, just agree with me." He said, "Lord, you said in your word, if anything on this earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done. I don't need another life. If you just give me a year and a half so I can tell my kids I was wrong and get myself where I need to be with you, I'll be glad to come home." I got so excited, I went back downstairs and I was headed back over to the motel where everybody else was staying. And I went down to the end of the hall and I tapped on the door of the guard shack, the guard room there by the door. And the guard opened the door and I said, "Sir, where's the gentleman who works with you?" He said, "Do what?" I said, "The gentleman who works with you, the black guy. You stepped out a while ago and we were down in the hall and he was hugging me." He said, you were by yourself." He said, "The only guard working on this shift here is me." There is a God, church, who can do great things in our life if we could just get rid of our mind and realize that why our finite mind cannot comprehend a God that can do things that we cannot formulate in our brain. But if we can but believe, God can move mountains. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. God, into your hand I commend my spirit. God, I believe you to touch and move right now in this house. Touch these people. Father, in Jesus' name.